You are listening to the Fire Pit Podcast. Today we are talking about handling our emotions. My emotions are a lot. I did not think that was the case for most of my life. I was not aware that I had feelings about things or opinions about things so strongly until after I was married for a few years, because my wife would ask me, like, what's your preference on doing the dishes, right? Like, how you stack the dishes in the drainer.
She actually asked you that?
She did. It was actually a discussion. And I said, I don't care. And then after a few plates broke, I was like, I actually have a very specific idea and opinion of how to stack them. And it's so weird because I'm such a chill person, but I don't understand. It wasn't clear to me that all these things were stressing me out. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves is dropping something. If I drop something, it pisses me off to no end at such frustration with myself that I would be clumsy. I don't know what that is or where that comes from. It's like an unwarranted amount of rage that a normal person would be like, it's no big deal. For me, it's a very big deal to myself. You can drop something, I don't care. If I drop something, I just feel this like overwhelming sense of disappointment with myself. So I had all these emotions. I wasn't aware that I had them. Another one was like towels on the ground. I hate that. Like, wet towels on the ground drives me crazy. But I wasn't aware of that because my mentality was don't make waves, don't start wars. But then as I grew and our relationship developed, you know, she would tell me like, hey, it's okay to have opinions, right? It's okay to voice those opinions. You're not starting a war. Maybe it's just a conversation. So for me, that's been a journey. It's still progressing today. Like, when I choose to say something, whether it be work or personal life, dealing with my emotions about certain relationships that I have or lack thereof, because I've always kind of been this personality. I go along to get along. I don't want to make enemies or waves, but I'm kind of realizing later in life that I'm not really doing myself any favors. I'm just stressing myself out. And if you would just tell someone, like, hey, don't put the wet towel on the floor, sure, I'll hang it up. Like, problem solved. Whereas before I would think, I don't want this person to be mad at me, and blah, blah, blah.
And, you know, I think it's fascinating that you ended up marrying a counselor. a good thing, because she knows. She's got a way about her communication style that kind of brought things out with you, and that was good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are you a little close to the microphone? Because I hear a lot of scratchy.
Hey, that could be that or the bag of Cheetos that I'm eating, so I'm not sure which of them. No, I backed away. So.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just been an ongoing thing, like I said, that I wasn't aware that it was happening to me, even in like with my job, I would present myself as very like easygoing, but if I look at how I run my life, like I'm hyper focused on how efficient I am. Like, even down, like, this happened the other day, which was crazy. I came in, I had 18 minutes before a meeting, but I needed to, like, cook, make coffee, do a bunch of tasks that require time, and they also require time to set. Like, it's too hot, I can't take it up till it's, or coffee, I do a pour over now, so it takes time. So, I, like, had like 6 or 7 balls in the air, and then I was done with like 45 seconds before that 18 minute mark. So like my brain, how I process information and how I do daily tasks, I'm constantly improving that efficiency, and it's very subconscious. But like my awareness of time is like hyper focused. But if what I choose to present to the world is that I'm just like real easygoing, and I'm growing to understand that I'm not a very easygoing person at all. I'm a fun person, but like I used to have this like portrayal of the, you know, it's cool, it doesn't matter. And then I'm growing to learn about myself that I'm very not like that. And I think I presented that because it was more digestible for the world for me to be easygoing, because it kind of let other people do their thing without me imposing. But I learned that it's not really the best approach. And the more I voice my opinion, not in a rude way, like my wife tells me, like, I could try to be rude. I'll never be rude. That's just not me. So if I feel like I'm being rude, I'm actually probably coming across as assertive.
Yeah. You know, when you first brought up what we were going to be talking about, the thought that went through my mind was, this is probably going to sound like we're doing a chick thing, you know, handling my emotions. And I have to chuckle at that, because when you think about it, women, you know, there are certain things that women come out of the chute ahead of us. And one of them is being what I would call comfortable with their emotions, with showing them. Okay. Guys, we're supposed to stifle a lot of different things because we're guys, you know. And yeah, it's interesting to me the way we're raised as little boys and little girls. The girls seem to be very much more in touch with their emotions and expressing them. And guys are really kind of taught to stifle them in many cases. Not everybody, but kind of the old school of, you know, boys don't cry, just suck it up. And, you know, they kind of do that in the military too. And I know when I see a woman who's acting that way, I'm thinking that's very masculine, and she's controlling her emotions. Turns out that's not such a good thing, because we all have emotions. And I think one of the eye openers for me is that I needed to make a distinction between the actual initial feeling of an emotion, whether it's, you know, embarrassment, or whether it's fear, or whether, you know, just any particular emotion, the initial feeling of it, you've got to feel that, you've got to acknowledge it. The problem comes in when you try to figure out what is it that's coming after that. And by that I mean, for instance, if you're embarrassed about something, like I was embarrassed about something that happened to me a while back here, and I found myself after that initial feeling of embarrassment thinking, wow, I was really stupid, oh man, and so I was beating myself up. That's where it goes down a dark path. Okay. Your feelings of fear, or I'm trying to think of something else. Fear is probably a good thing. Is that wrong? Well, no. I mean, you feel but what is it that comes after that? Are you dealing with that emotion properly? And I think guys feel a little awkward about that. We were talking today about the whole thing of, you know, being physically aroused when you see a particular female who you find yourself attracted to physically. It's not that and there's nothing wrong with that. But I was, you know, in my younger days, I was kind of raised to believe that, oh, that's bad. That's bad. You shouldn't feel that way. And then there were other guys who were just kind of letting it loose and going with the flow. And of course, that can lead to the wrong reaction right there. But what do you do with that emotion after you feel it? Where does it take you? Do you find yourself playing down? That was another one that came to my mind. Something that going back to this embarrassment thing again, maybe you play it down. Ah, that's not a big deal, or I didn't really care about that anyway. Okay, making excuses for that. That's a bad response to that emotion. And of course, making excuses is bad too for feeling that emotion. So let's, go ahead and halt it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, tomorrow's a bad day, right?
Yes.
And what about the next day? Because here's the thing. I think that this is really an important topic, and I think I'm feeling like I need to prepare a little bit better for this. Okay?
Okay. I thought it was going well. You don't like how it's going?
Well, for me, I'm feeling kind of my flow of thoughts are not going well with it. And I think it's probably because what happened the other day that I was sharing with you, I'm still kind of processing that.
Okay.
And I'm still feeling kind of awkward with it. But I think one of the good things I bring up is the fact that I think if you've really been trained from, you know, your youth on up, that, you know, get your emotions under control, don't feel this. That's kind of stupid. You do feel it, you know?
Well, so the amazing example, right, is this right now, right? I don't think that we should halt it. I think that it's a great experience of experiencing that emotion in its rawest form, where it's not articulated. That's another thing that I learned on my, when I went to Cancun and I got sick, not the last time, the time before that. really sick. I thought I had COVID. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to get stuck in the country. My wife didn't know any of this. but I was having all these emotions.
Yeah.
So which one?
Are you still recording?
Yeah. Sorry. I never stopped.
That's fine.
But I think that brings a perfect example of, for you right now, having this emotion that's unarticulated, it's still raw, it's still kind of marinating in your mind. We're very similar in that effect. I feel that I have to boil down all my emotions before I can share them, and they need to be like in piecemeal, and it can't just be this like blah, or it can't be like without an ending. So I had all these emotions when I'm in Cancun. I'm sick as a dog, like literally 103 fever. I was scared I was going to get kicked out of the resort. And then the next day, right before we leave, I take a COVID test. I'm sweating bullets. Like, I'm like, this is it. I didn't express any of this to her. Later on, she was like, you just shut down completely. I had no clue what was going on. And I told her, I said, I was having an emotion that didn't have a conclusion, that I hadn't finished feeling it out, and I just realized what I had needed to work on is it's okay to have an emotion that's not done and be able to express, I'm feeling anxious, frustrated, like where you're not looking at, like unseen, that's okay. And I realized on that trip that's okay to communicate that. Whereas to me, that seems highly inappropriate to just say, I'm feeling mad. Why? Well, I don't really know. That just doesn't fly with me. But I think that I'm down on myself for that because I haven't worked through it. But a lot of things in your life, they're not going to be like, they're not going to have a nice little bow on them. It's going to be a mess.
No. That's a good point. Yeah, and I've often thought back to like 20, 30, 40 years ago when we were living in another city. And I think at that time, at least my perception was that it's not okay to really open up. And I was having some real struggles that I didn't know what to do with, and they were causing some emotional issues for me. And I was embarrassed by it, and I thought, well, the unfortunate part about this is that there were people that could have helped me, people that knew me, people that I'm sure looking back would have been more than happy to sit down and just listen to some of the struggles that I was having, and could have really gave me some insight. But it really came back to this idea that I was having an emotional response to something that I wasn't comfortable with, that emotional response. And so I felt embarrassed about the emotional response, and so I kept it hidden. That didn't help, because it was still there, you know? It's like, you can sweep it under the carpet, you can throw it in the closet, you know, shove it in a room upstairs, lock the door and throw away the key, but you still feel those emotions. And unfortunately for me, some of the outworking of feeling those emotions was not healthy. Part of it was struggling with alcohol. And I didn't understand that. And like I said, if I could have just sat down with somebody and said, look, can you just listen to my story and give me your thoughts? And I'm sure there would have been a totally different outcome. But it just goes back to that ingrained thinking that made me feel uncomfortable with my emotions. Okay. And they were there. I remember as a child, and I kind of grew up in a situation where there was fighting at school, and I got my butt handed to me several times. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I think I've told you this before. My dad said, well, just go back there and kick their butts. You know, and I tried to explain to him that this, the butt that I was kicking was probably at eye level to my face. You know, these guys were big, and they were going to do some serious damage to me. So I had to find some way to deal with that. And emotionally, I built some walls that just kept me from being honest about the fear that I was feeling. And so in essence, I became kind of a poser. I kind of posed myself as, well, I can handle this. I'm not going to let anybody do that to me again. And I replayed that tape over and over and over and again in my mind, thinking that if I just said it enough times, then I would be tough. I would be strong. And so, you know, push down those emotions, push down the fear, push down the all the stuff that's giving me grief, and just create this persona that you can handle this, you know. Did some real damage, and it continued for quite a few years after that, because it was an unhealthy way of dealing with emotions. And this is all, a lot of this is, you know, subconscious. You're not aware that you're thinking this. You're not aware that you're handling this incorrectly. You're not aware that there's this disconnect between your healthy experience of an emotion and the outworking of it, in which you're building walls or running away from or playing things down or blaming somebody or something else, and all those negative things that come out of not accepting an emotion and seeking to find a healthy way to respond to it. Does that, any of that make sense to you?
No, for sure. I identify wholly. I think for me, very similar. Socially has always been hard, because I want to fit in. Because I was homeschooled, I didn't really come in contact with a lot of kids my age, at least not at like a public school level. You would feel on the emotion. What I've worked on now is not associating good or bad, because I would always be like, that's bad to be angry. Like, oh, that's bad. Don't do that. Don't get upset. Don't get riled up. But then it's like, later on, I've realized that's not a bad emotion. It's an emotion that you have, and it's just as valid as all the other emotions that you have. But I would always try to stifle the bad, quote unquote, ones, and then just let the fun ones out until you realize you're just, I used to think that I was exhausted because I'm more introverted, but now I'm starting to realize I'm exhausted in social settings because I just try to please everybody. Like when I would have a party at my house a few years ago, I would not have fun at all. Even though I'm having a party, I'm having a good time. It's like, oh, wow. Well, you don't look like you're having a good time. You look like a stress case because I'm trying to appease everyone instead of understanding that everybody's going to have their own thing. You can't make anyone do anything. Just kind of enjoy yourself, do what you can do, and just kind of go with the flow more. But then also make yourself known and communicate those emotions that you're having. That took a really, really long time for me to learn. And I think a lot of my imposter syndrome is attributed to that, of just trying to be what other people like, even though you start to look at it. And if you looked at people that I would hang out with, you could never put them in a room together because they would kill each other. That's a problem. That means that I'm not really being forthcoming about anything. Like everything is even keel. Like there's nothing beyond the extreme of one boundary or the other. I get along with everybody. Everything's cool. When in actuality, that's not the case. So I think I've done a lot better. It's a lonelier place, I think, because I don't mesh with everybody. And I'm starting to realize that there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay to have preferences that you like. And then things that you're just not really, that just doesn't really interest me. And before it would just, I need to, you know, I can't have these emotions of dislike. And now even we had a conversation the other day. She's like, my wife's like, you know, I don't really like this person, something to that effect. And I was like, you know what? I don't really like them either. And I felt very bad to say that, but it's the truth. And in the past, I would be like, no, this is wrong. I do need to like this person. They have something that I need to validate them and make them feel good about themselves, even though like they could just be not a great person. And most of the time, those people, they're totally okay with not being an okay person. They actually know they're not an okay person and they don't care. So like
let me interject something there because that's an interesting point you're making. Yeah, there's an appropriateness to that you need to kind of be concerned about because you don't want to purposely offend anyone. But sometimes I think we carry it to the point where we feel guilty about our thoughts. Okay, because I have this thinking that I don't really like this person and now I'm feeling guilty about my thoughts. Well, don't feel guilty about that. Feel guilty if you purposely offend this person or try to harm them in some way with your words or actions, then you've crossed over a line. But if you stop to think about why is it that I don't like this person, maybe something they said, maybe something about them, or maybe their personality just clashing with yours. Is it wrong to feel the emotion that I don't really care for this person? I don't think so. But I identify with what you're saying, that I've felt guilty internally at times about what I'm thinking and thinking, well, I really shouldn't think this. Maybe it's not such a bad thing, you know. You can still be nice to people. Doesn't mean you have to like something or like someone, even though you don't, you know?
Yeah.
I feel guilty saying this, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I always, and I know people listen to the podcast. Is it me? It's like, it's difficult to put those emotions into words and like let them fly because you just feel, it's so against my nature. Even though it's not being authentic to myself, it's not being authentic to the person. We've talked about this before, and then I think we're good. I didn't have anything else for today. I think we should continue it again next week, because I think we could touch on different things with regard to dealing with these emotions. Tell me what you think about that. But
we might want to change the title of it to make us feel more comfortable as men, rather than feeling like we're having a chick flick night or something like that. And the reason I'm saying that is that the very fact that you find yourself feeling uncomfortable about talking about your emotions, that's not good, because you need to be able to talk about that. But it's really allowing the your masculinity to be okay. You're not in jeopardy of losing your manhood by talking about what is really, really very real that's coming out, and that's that emotion about stuff. So I don't know.
And full disclosure, I love chick flicks.
Okay.
A lot. It's weird. You wouldn't think so. Like, a lot of guys that I've known have been like, oh, dude, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like the unbridled emotion everywhere that I just feel envious of being able to express that. But the last thing that I was going to say was the friend that I had gone out with and I hadn't seen in 15, 20 years. And then just didn't click. And then I would always, I'll call you tomorrow. Let's go to lunch. Now we're in each other's lives. We have to do this ritual, even though we don't like each other. And another, we don't like each other. It's just like, it wasn't there. Right. Like, we were like 20 years ago, you're a different person. Mm-hmm. You should be a different person.
Yeah.
And I felt so guilty about that. But then I was like, you know what? That's okay. We don't click. We're not even in the same universe as each other. Just let it die. And it wasn't alive anyway. It died, years ago. But just kind of getting comfortable with my own skin and feeling the feelings that I have without making an excuse for them to myself.
Yeah. Well, I guess for myself, I would just say this. You know what I really appreciate about doing this podcast with you. And I did feel a little awkward when we first started, because I felt like we needed to be more polished and carefully thinking through. And I don't know if we're trying to sell the whole thing or, I remember thinking, as people would ask, oh, you're doing a podcast with your son. What's the name of it? I'd like to listen to it. And you're thinking, well, this is what it is, but it's not that I'm not proud of it. It's just that it's not polished. It's kind of rough. And that's because our conversations are kind of rough and they're not fully formed. And our thoughts, and like, especially this one, it's awkward because I'm still kind of thinking through some of this stuff and trying to work it out. So I appreciate the fact that I think we've grown to the point where our podcast is something that's for us. And if somebody wants to listen to it, fine, but I'm not here to defend it as far as whether we ramble too much or we whatever.
My first reaction when they ask is I don't want to tell them. I actually would rather they not listen. And that's just a really selfish, because I am presenting myself, the underbelly. Right. This is the real person that I am now. Very fun fact. That's the only reason I would listen to this podcast. If it's not hitting me hard, if it's not profound, it's worthless. And I found that from listening to all these other podcasts, entrepreneurial podcasts, how to deal, make a 10 steps to blah, blah, blah. I hate it. It's just so like, I've arrived and this is how, I don't care about that guy. Like, that guy is not interesting to me in the least. But the guy that's like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm really trying to figure it out as I go along, I identify with that. So I agree with you when people do ask me when I bring it up, because it slips out accidentally. It's not like bragging or anything. They're like, oh, what were you doing? I was like, oh, I was doing a podcast with my dad. Like, oh, wow, what is it? Like, what is it like? Or like, my favorite is when people are like, ooh, you should really try to like tackle topics or like do like real murder mystery. And I'm like, dude, I'm not making entertainment, right? I'm not appeasing an audience other than ourselves. But I do get that feeling inside of like, I don't want to tell you about it. And I think honestly, that's a testament that we're doing something. If we're doing something that we feel a little bit nervous to show, that's probably means that we're doing something that's worth listening to.
It's definitely worth listening to and being a part of for me, because I need this kind of thing. So anyway, this has been good.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll pick it up. Next week we'll ponder on, because this has obviously been a huge pain point for both of us.
Okay, buddy. Well, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.